This morning, church, we are truly, truly blessed. Let me just say before we start, just thank you to everyone who came out. I guess it was two Wednesdays ago and joined us for our prayer service in the youth building. I want you to know that your prayers were appreciated. They were felt, and they were very powerful. And I still believe strongly in that today. And I believe that you church, you helped us as we laid the foundation of what God is going to do here at Liberty Baptist Church and the lives of their youth. And I just thank you for being a part of that. Thank you, youth, that came out with us last night or last Wednesday. I think we had a great service, had a great time. The Lord was certainly there, and we're just thankful for that. Looking for many more services. Looking for many more just spending time with the Lord. And so y'all make sure if you weren't there Wednesday, you come with us, be with us this Wednesday. Invite your friends, and I promise we'll have enough food and altar and prayer and everything for everybody. So y'all just come out and join us and have a good time. If you got your Bibles with you, you can begin turning to the book of Joshua this morning. Book of Joshua there in the 6th chapter. If there's something that I want you to think about this morning as we preach and as God leads us throughout this service, I want you to think about this morning, I want you to think about the power of a touch. And I know you may not see exactly where we're going with that this morning, or you may not be able to realize exactly where this message is going, but I just want you to think about the power of a touch this morning. And you see, when we talk about the power of a touch, that can range anywhere, whether it's a handshake if someone comes in the door, whether it's a hug, whether someone comes up and they poke you and it's a bad touch, or they bump into you real good and we have some opposite effects, but just how much power can one little touch have it? And that's what we want to look at here this morning, because, you know, we never know what people are going through. We never know what people are suffering through, if they're having a bad day, if they're having a hard time, and we never know what just a little handshake and a good to see you today means to someone. We'll never know what just a little hug and a word of encouragement means to someone. We'll never know the power that touch that you gave them holds in it. But here in the Bible, I believe that we're given several just great examples, and we're going to read some familiar scripture. Y'all just keep your Bibles in your laps this morning as we turn a little bit. But if we're there in the book of Joshua, book of Joshua there in the 6th chapter, and here what we find, and like I said, this is very familiar scripture, we find here that the Lord is speaking unto Joshua in preparation for the defeat of Jericho. You see, here in the 6th chapter is when God speaks to Joshua. He gives him his instructions on how it is he's going to march around the wall, how it is that he's going to blow his trumpets, when they're going to shout, how they're going to shout, and he's commanded them in that manner so that God's will can be carried out and so that the walls of Jericho can come down. However, I believe that there's also some instruction in this scripture that we also pass over a lot of times. You see here, we're going to read this 17th and through 19th verse, and I think a lot of times as we read through this scripture, we might maybe just skip over this little part because it talks about the instruction that God gives Joshua, and then we just seem to jump straight into the part where the walls fall. So I want to bring your attention here to the 17th verse in the 6th chapter. It says, "In the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and came and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated into the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." And so here, this is the part of the instruction that I believe that a lot of times that we skip over. You know, we get caught up in the talking about the walls and how they're going to get come down, and then we jump straight into the part when they actually come down. But here in these few verses, God has given commandment to His people that all the things of the city, everything in the city has been accursed, and they are not to touch of it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It says that all the precious metals, all the gold, silver, vessels of brass and iron, it says all that is going to be given unto the treasury of the Lord. So in other words, what the Lord is telling this army and telling Joshua, He says, as you lead your people into battle, as you overcome this city of Jericho, I want you to remember that everything that's in it has been accursed, and what has not been accursed will be given unto the treasury of the Lord. In other words, it says everything in that city belongs to the Lord. And so we know that in the scripture, if we go on and read the next couple of verses, we'll find that Joshua and his army did as they were told. They marched around the wall. They blew their trumpet when they were supposed to blow. They shouted when they were supposed to shout. And ultimately, the walls of Jericho were conquered, and they were able to overcome the entire city. Well, now what I want you to see, and this is where we'll start to get into the part of the touch, is if you jump down there to the 7th chapter, there in the first verse it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass, and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." So in other words, what we find here in this first verse of the 7th chapter, we find a man named Achan. And Achan was a member of Joshua's army, and he was a member of the army that marched around the walls and that took down the walls of Jericho. And for some reason, it says that when Achan, if you go on and you read the chapter, you'll find that as Achan was walking amongst the city, as they were walking amongst Jericho and the things that they had conquered, it says that Achan noticed some gold and some silver and some fine linen, a fine garment that was sitting there. It says in that he was tempted by these things. He was tempted. You see, he saw the gold, he saw the silver, and obviously we know the value that of thereof, and that we also saw the garment. And Achan began to desire to have the things that the Lord had said were accursed. And so if you read on in this chapter, you'll find that Achan chose to take that silver and that gold and that garment, and he took it back to his tent inside the camp of Israel. It says, and he buried it and he hid it in his tent. But what you'll notice there in the 7th verse, it says, "But immediately God knew that Achan had disobeyed and stolen from his treasury." Immediately God knew what had happened. And see, what I want you guys to realize here this morning is that it talks about how all the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron, it says all of that will come into the treasury of the Lord. And see, when I think about the treasury of the Lord, I have to envision that it's probably a great treasury. I believe that it's one that is filled with wealth, that's not lacking by any means. It's not, I don't think that there's anything in this world that we could use to compare to truly how great the treasury of the Lord is. And so in Achan's mind, he probably said, well, you know what? It's just a few little pieces of gold. It's just a few little pieces of silver. It's just one garment. Surely in the whole treasury of the Lord, he won't miss just these little things that I'm going to keep. In other words, it would be like if you said, well, I'm going to go and we're going to go and we're going to conquer Fort Knox and we're going to go in there and I'm going to take just a few pennies. Something nobody will ever notice it's gone. Nobody will, it's insignificant amount. It's just a little touch of what's in there. I just want a little touch of it for myself. But see, the Lord notices those little touches. You see, when we talk about the amount of silver and the amount of gold in that garment, really and truly, it probably didn't amount to much as far as worth when you compare it to the treasury of the Lord. You probably just compare it to a few pennies. If you were to take just a few pennies out of Bill Gates' bank account, would he really even notice? Would he really even notice it was gone? It's just a little touch. That's all that Achan wanted was just a little touch. But it says immediately, it says the Lord noticed. It says there in the 7th verse, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." With just that one little touch. And so if you go on and you read the chapter, you'll find there in the 7th chapter, it says that God spoke to Joshua, and Joshua was commanded to go out and to search through all the camp of Israel. And it talks about how that they were supposed to come by family and by sons. And it gives instruction as to how Joshua was supposed to go out and to find the man that had taken of the accursed thing. And so, and Joshua sent out these men and he searched out. And eventually what you'll find there in the 7th chapter is that eventually when Achan was brought forth and when he was questioned about whether or not he had taken of the accursed thing, it says that Achan confessed of his sins, that he told Joshua where to find them, and Joshua sent out men, and they found the items buried there in his tent. It says Achan and his family were stoned to death and burned. That's what the chapter goes on to tell us. What I want you to realize today, church, is that it only took a simple little touch to take Achan. He was a soldier in God's army. Just a few verses before that seventh chapter, there in the 17th and the 19th verse, I imagine as he sat there with the army, and as Joshua spoke to them, I believe that they were on fire, that they were ready to go, that they were mighty warriors for the Lord, that they were ready to overtake the city of Jericho because the Lord had promised it unto them. But with just one little touch of the cursed thing, this man Achan went from a mighty warrior in God's army to being killed, stoned, and burned. With just one little touch. Church, we need to realize it's the exact same way in our lives today. You see, we walk around this world, and the world has powers of temptation that we really wouldn't even believe. People are tempted with things every day, and the temptations just seem to grow stronger and stronger, and the devil seems to work harder and harder to get God's people and to tempt them. And we say, well, you know, I'll just have just a little touch of it here. I won't do it a lot. I'll just have a touch here or a touch there. I promise, Lord, I won't do it a lot. And so we think, okay, I'll just get a little touch. Just one little touch. It won't hurt nothing. Just one little touch of that sin. Just one little touch of that lust. You see, as Achan, as he walked through the city of Jericho, as he saw that silver and gold and fine linen, he began to lust after it. He said, I'll take just a little touch of that. People, the world is constantly setting temptations in front of us each and every day. Each and every day we have to walk by things, and the world will make them look good. It'll make it look like the best thing you've ever done, the best thing you've ever tried, the most fun you've ever had. It'll make it seem like it'll make all your problems go away. It'll seem like it's the very best thing that you can find in this world. And you know it's wrong, but you say, you know what, I'll just get a little touch of it. But do you realize that in one touch of the cursed thing, that Achan ultimately killed himself and killed his family? But it was just one touch. He could have pleaded, he said, it was just one touch. It was just a little silver. It was just a little gold. It was just one touch. Surely that's not enough for me and my family to be stoned to death and burned. But you see, I believe Joshua, he said, well, you know what, Achan? He said, you were given instruction from the Lord. He said, not only was it my instructions to you, he said, but it was the Lord speaking through me to you. You directly disobeyed a commandment from the Lord. So here we find that Achan found himself with no excuses. Well, church, I'm here to tell you this morning, we ourselves don't have any excuses either. You see, just as the Lord spake through Joshua and commanded the army, we have been given the word of God and we have been instructed as to the manner that we are to live our lives. We have been instructed as to the things that we are allowed to partake of and that we should not partake of. We have been instructed of what things are cursed and what things are not. We have been instructed as to what things are good for our lives, are good for our families, and what things are not. We have no excuse, just as Achan did. You see, we wonder why our spiritual lives are dying. We wonder why our families, the concept of a family just seems to be dying in America. We wonder why our church services seem to be dying, why our relationships seem to be dying, why Sunday school seems to be dying, why Sunday nights seem to be dying, why it seems like just all these things are dying. You wonder why your relationship with God just seems to be dying. You say, well, Lord, I've been good. Lord, I've lived like you've called me to live. Lord, I've done my best to follow your instructions. Lord, it was, and then you begin to think and you say, well, I did do a little bit of that time. And I did do a little bit of this. And I did take a touch of that and a touch of this and a touch of that. And when God sits up there and he says, you know good and well that those touches, he said, they begin to add up very quickly. You see, the problem becomes when we don't have a problem with the touches. When we say, oh, it's just a little touch. They're fine. They're young. They've got to learn. It's just a little touch of that. Or when something, and it's just, oh, it's they just said that just that one time. No big deal. They let it slip that one time. Oh, they tried that just that one time. It was just a little touch of it. It was just one day, just one night. What? No big deal. It was just a little touch. But church, we've got to realize this morning that it was just one touch. Achan just did it one time. It doesn't say that Achan went in there and he grabbed armfuls of stuff. It doesn't say that Achan went in there 10 times or 50 times, or he tried it one time and got away with it and tried it again and got away with it, or and then he ended up doing this, that, and the other. No, it said simply one time with one touch. Achan ultimately killed himself and his family. Church, this morning I'm here to tell you that with just one touch, that's all the devil needs to try to kill your relationship with God. It's just one touch of sin that you let come inside your family that destroys your family relationship. It's just one touch of sin that you let come between you and a loved one that destroys that relationship from every. It's just one touch of something that we say, oh, it's just one little thing, we'll just let it go, that kills our church services. Whether it's one thing said, whether it's one thing done, whether it's one thing that wasn't done, just that one touch can kill so quickly and so harshly. And we need to realize that this morning. The devil tries to tell us, he said, well, it's just one little time. It's just one little thing. It won't hurt anything. If you just do it one time, won't anybody even notice it? There's no one else here. If you just do it this one time, when you're by yourself, won't no one else even know what happened? And Achan was probably thinking the same thing. He's probably sitting over there, he looked around, he said, well, there's no one here watching. There's no one here that'll ever know. It's not like they have a count of what was in this city before. They'll never know that just this little bit that I take, they'll never know it was gone. No one will ever see it. And God looks down and he says, no, Achan. He said, I see it. We may think we're good at hiding our sins. We may think that if it's just a quick little touch that nobody will notice. We think if we just pick it up really quick, we try it and we throw it down, we think no one will ever know, no one will ever never realize that we did that. But God sees those little touches. And that little touch is the tip of the wedge that the devil needs to drive in between you and the Lord. Flip over with me to the book of Matthew, if you will. Book of Matthew, chapter 9. Again, very, very familiar scripture, something that we've heard preached about a lot here lately. But here in Matthew chapter 9, starting there in verse 18, Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, it says, while he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Church, this morning, what we find is a very familiar story of a woman with an issue of blood. And I wonder how, and if you really pay attention, what I want you to realize is there in verse 21, where the woman says within herself, she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, just his garment, I shall be whole. Church, I wonder how many of you here this morning stand in need of a touch of the garment. I wonder how many people here this morning have suffered for many years through many things, just like this woman did. You see, if you go on and you read about this same woman in Luke chapter 8 or Mark chapter 5, you'll find that it says that she spent all that she had, that she had paid all these physicians, that she had tried all these worldly things to try to fix her problem. Yet she still suffered for 12 years. Church, I wonder how many of us are here this morning that can say that we've suffered for many years through many things because we keep running to the world to try to fix our problems. While we say, well, I'll just try a touch of this drug or a touch of that alcohol, or I'll just try a touch of this or a touch of that, and it'll make everything go away. It'll make everything better. I'll just get a touch of this world, and it'll make all my problems disappear. I wonder how many of you here this morning have suffered for years because you've searched for a touch from the wrong thing. I wonder how many of you here have spent all that you've had, that have gave all you have, that simply can't find hope anywhere in anything, and it's simply because you've been reaching for the wrong things. You've been getting a touch from the wrong things, and they may seem like they make it better for a moment. The world will do its very best to try to tell you that you just try this and things will get better. But it's just a moment. I wonder how many of us here stand in need of a touch. I wonder how many of us here have been suffering for years simply because we needed a touch. But you know what, Brother David, I also wonder how many of you here this morning are also suffering from an issue of blood. And I'm not necessarily talking about the same issue that this woman was going through. I'm not even talking about her worldly blood. I'm talking about the eternal blood. You see, the Bible goes on and it says, she said, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch him, she said, I know my issue will be healed. She knew that she had an issue of worldly blood, but I believe, Brother David, she also knew that she had a greater issue, that she had an issue of eternal blood, that her eternal blood was not worthy enough to get her into the gates of heaven. And so not only did she stand in need of a touch to heal her earthly blood, but she stood in need of a touch to heal her eternal blood. This morning, if you're here and you've never received that touch from God, and all I know to tell you is that you'll know when you've got it. Because it's stronger than any touch I've ever felt. It had more meaning than anything I've ever had. It had more hope and more joy and more mercy and more grace than any touch that I've ever received and that I ever will receive. But I wonder how many of you here have never received that touch to heal your eternal blood problem. I wonder how many of you here this morning stand in need of a touch from God that you know if you'll just simply come and reach out and touch to God. And it said there that the woman knew that if she could just touch him, if she could just get a touch, she knew she would be healed. You see, her entire life was changed with just one touch. You get where we're going here? Achan's entire life was ended with just one touch. Why? Because he chose to grab out and touch a hold and grab a hold of the things of this world. But here we have this woman who realized within herself, because of the leadership of the Lord, that if I could just touch the Savior, her whole life was changed. Church, this morning I believe that we've got basically two different things that we can do in this world. I'm going to simplify it really good. We can either reach out and we can grab a hold of the things of this world. We can either reach out and we can touch sin, we can touch Satan, we can grab a hold of this world, we can try to hold on to it, we can try to make it last, we can try to make it good, we can try to reason and bargain and do all these things and say, that's what I need. Or we can reach out and we can get a touch from heaven, from the Lord Jesus Himself, from the great physician, who even when he had the ultimate healing power here, still has the ultimate saving and healing power this morning. Church, I'm here to tell you, reaching out and touching the church, it doesn't do anything for you. Reaching out and touching Sunday school, it doesn't do anything. Reaching out and touching the choir, it doesn't do anything for you. You can reach out and you can grab a hold of this Bible, but if all you ever do is just grab a hold of it, it won't do anything for you. But if you'll touch it, if you'll open it, if you'll read it, if you'll get a touch from God, not only if you won't come to church and just get a touch of the building itself, but if you'll come to church and get a touch of the Holy Spirit and the Savior that's within it, that's when lives are changed. That's when a difference is made. When you get the touches that only come from the great physician, the touches that come down from heaven simply to touch you. When God reaches down all the way from His throne on heaven down to a little place called Liberty Baptist Church and He sees you in the altar and He reaches all the way down and He touches you, that's when lives are changed. You see, church, you've got an option this morning. You can grab a hold of the world. You can do like Achan. You can say, well, it's just a little touch here. It's just a touch of this. It's just a little of this and a little of that. It won't hurt anything. And I believe you'll end up just like Achan. Not only was he stoned, it says, but he was burned. Him and his family were burned. And I believe within all my heart, if you reach out and grab a hold of nothing but the world in this life, I believe you'll suffer the same fate. Burning in hell with Satan. But do you realize that it only took one touch for Achan and his life to be ruined? It also only takes one touch from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning to fix that eternal blood problem. To fix that eternal problem. It's just one touch. You say, well, preacher, I've touched sin a lot. I've done a lot of bad things. I've tried a lot of different stuff. I've grabbed a hold of the Lord of the world a lot. I've let Satan get a hold of me. I've touched Satan a lot of times. How can just one touch from God overcome that? I want you to flip over, if you will, Matthew chapter 9. I just want to read one verse to you. You see, here in this verse, we find that Jesus has finally made it to the place where this ruler's daughter lay dead. In other words, where I read to you earlier, where it says Jesus was on his way and this ruler came and he begged Jesus to come and to see his daughter. It says, and while Jesus was on his way, that's when the woman decided that she needed to touch his garment. So here we find in the 25th verse, Jesus has finally made his way to the place where this girl lay and he's been mocked. But he said, you know what? He said, y'all just go out. He said, y'all just go out. And there in the 25th verse of the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, but when the people were put forth, in other words, when the people were put out, it says, Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. You can tell me all that you want to, that you're too bad for Jesus to touch you. You can tell me that you've tried too many things, that you've done too much wrong, that you've been too many other places that you shouldn't have been. And that just, you say, preacher, there's no way that just one touch from Jesus can make a difference in my life. Well, let me tell you something about this maid right here, this ruler's daughter. You see, the devil had hit her with the hardest touch that he could come up with. Death itself. And I believe that when if y'all just stay with me as we try to put this in a picture, I believe that when the devil was, he said, I'm going to hit that girl. He said, I'm going to hit her with something so hard. He said, it's going to kill her. And so I believe, Brother David, when you're going to hit somebody that hard, it's not just a little tap. Now I believe the devil, I believe he balled his fist up. I believe he reared back. I believe he bowed his chest out. I believe he got all his weight onto it. And I believe that when he swung, I believe he hit that girl with everything that he had. He hit her with death itself. He said, there's no way. He said, if I hit her that hard, he said, if I touch her with something that bad, something as bad as death, he said, if I can touch her with something that bad, there's nothing that anybody can ever do to ever go back the other way. He said, I'm going to give her the strongest blow I've got. He said, I'm going to hit her as hard as I can. I'm going to touch her with death as hard as I can. He said, I'm going to do everything that I can to put her down and make sure that she stays down. The devil gave her everything he had. And Jesus walked in and said, arise. Arise. Church, you want to talk about the power of God? The devil. Satan himself, I believe, had hit this girl with everything that he had. He put the most power he had, the strongest punch he had. He did everything he could to hit her with everything he had. You ever seen one of those movies where the guy walks up and he punches the dude and he just begins grinning? And you're like, oh boy, he's in a mess. You know, you run up, he punches this guy, and then he starts smiling, and you're like, oh, I need to go the other way. I sort of believe that's what the devil did. I believe the devil hit this girl with everything that he had. And Jesus just sort of took a touch and wiped it away. And I believe the devil realized right then, he said, oh Lord, what have I gotten into? Church, this morning you tell me that the world has a hold of you. You tell me that Satan has a hold of you. We believe Satan has a hold of our church services. We believe that Satan has a hold of our families. We believe that Satan has a hold of our relationships. And you say, his grip is so strong, I just don't understand how anything that I ever do could make it go away. But the Lord says, if you give me but just a touch. He said, if you give me but just a touch in your life. He said, if you'd let me work in your life, just a touch. He said, you'd be amazed at what I could do. Church, this morning we need to realize that with just one little bitty touch, just one little bitty, just a little poke from God. He overcame everything that Satan ever had to throw at us this morning. So why do we suffer? Why do we live our lives in agony? Why do we let the devil come into our church services? Why do we let the devil come into our families? Why do we let the world tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do? Why do we let the world tempt us and get a hold of us like we do? Because we become okay with just a touch. We say it's just a touch, no big deal. It was just a touch that killed Achan. But it is also just a touch that brought this ruler's life, this ruler's daughter back to life. Joey, you come and prepare an invitation. Church, I wonder this morning, out of these three scriptures we've read, out of these three people that we've talked about, who are you this morning? Where is your heart this morning? So here's what we need to do. I believe each and every one of us need to search out our hearts right now. Right now, I believe that we need to search our hearts, that we need to speak with the Lord, that we need to figure out who we are in this situation. You see, are we like Achan? Have we been touching sin? Have we been saying, well, just a little touch here, just a little touch there, just a little of this, just a little of that? No big deal. Is that you this morning? Have you said, well, just a little bit of fun on Friday night, that's no big deal. Just a little bit of something on Saturday, that's no big deal. Just a little bit of something when I get home from work and had a bad day, no big deal. Just a little touch here, a little touch there. Or are you like this woman? Do you have an issue of blood this morning? I'm here to tell you there's not but one person that can heal your eternal blood issue, and his name is Jesus. And without his touch, without his touch on your life, without him coming down and touching you and making a difference in your soul, in your blood, you will die and go to hell. Have you ever received his touch? Have you ever felt God's presence in your life? Have you ever felt him so strong that you know not only is he speaking to me, but he touched me. He touched me. Or are you simply dead this morning? Can you not hear Jesus talking to you? Do you feel like Jesus doesn't hear you? Are you just simply dead in sin and in this world? And are you just like this maid? You just need to come and let Jesus take you by the hand and say, arise, for you are one of mine. Church, let's do this. Joe, as you play, church, you stand to your feet. I'm going to tell you what needs to happen this morning. I believe that there's no one in here this morning that can say with 100% that they do not need a touch from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. I believe there's no one in this place this morning that should say, I don't need God to touch my life this morning. You may say, well, Josh, things are good. Life's going good. I've got everything straightened out. Things are slowing down. I've got time for this, time for that. God, Josh, things are good. I don't need a touch. Well, if you really think things are good, just imagine how great they could be with the Lord Jesus Christ working in them. So let's do this as Joey plays, as we give this altar call. Would you come and just touch your knee to this altar? Would you come this morning, bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Would you touch your knees to this carpet? Would you touch your head to this altar? Would you bow down before the Lord God Almighty and say, God, I just need a touch from you this morning? I believe that's what we stand in need of. So as Joey plays, as he sings, whatever he wants to do this morning, would you come? Would you come and receive a touch from heaven this morning?